Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, testing. Well, sorry for the delay, but here we are. We're going to be talking a little bit about religious freedom on this broadcast. I know we're about 12 minutes late, but we had some technical problems. You know, that's what's happening to religious freedom in many places around the world. Little technical problems, little technicalities, because people are busy. What are they doing? They're busy serving God. And what are other people doing? Other people are busy seeing to it that God can't be served. As a result, we have some problems that arise. You know, the founding fathers of America were men who had a deep faith for the most part. Now, I know many people have been taught otherwise, but the facts don't bear out what has been popularly taught about our founding fathers being deists. And let me just say, if you have any concerns, you'd like to do a little follow-up on that sort of thing, my suggestion is that you go to sojournershub.org, our website, and on the right-hand side, you will see a link that says Wall Builders. And I would suggest that you go to Wall Builders and you browse through there and you listen to some of the wonderful materials that David Barton has amassed regarding religious freedom. And the celebration of religious freedom is something we should be doing and something we should be so thankful for the founding fathers for seeing to it that we had religious freedom in this country. Let me tell you, you have no idea when you're in a country where there's a dictatorship. Now, I have been in different countries, and one country that I was in had freedom of religion, but it was sort of tolerated halfway. The leadership halfway claimed to be Christians, but you still had to watch the things you say. There are other countries where that's not the case. We have people right now affiliated with Sojourners Fellowships in one or two countries in the world that they must be very cautious about what they say and to whom and how they go about conducting the business of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're so excited about the freedom that people enjoy in America. And at the same time, you see, what kind of freedom do we really appreciate? You know, many people say, well, I don't go to church. I'm not a part of that. I don't know about those people. That's very sad. I've watched over the course of my life that begin to happen. They do not understand why they need to celebrate religious freedom. You see, when mankind turns his back on any kind of absolute, and that's why some people hate the scriptures so much, because there are absolutes in there. There are absolutes that God has set out as the rules and regulations for governing how we live our lives. Well, many people don't like that. And they would do everything they can to silence us in the name of freedom. They will use the name of freedom to take freedom from people. Because what they mean by freedom is freedom to agree with them. Freedom to say what they want said or what they feel is proper to be said. You know, when the United States was basically run as a Christian nation, when the United States was that where people didn't expect bad things from anybody in the clergy, I'm certain that things happened, don't misunderstand me, but now, if you were to watch movies, you would think that anybody in ministry is some sort of a bigot and some sort of a really a dodo and some kind of person who is a pervert. And it's most unfortunate that we have whole generations now who are growing up since the 1960s seeing that kind of projection of people who are in the clergy, or people who are very deeply people of faith. Now, if you're not really careful, you'll find that people will even begin to redefine the definitions. And that can be very, very sad and have very sad consequences. You know, recently I was in Washington, D.C., where in the neighborhood of 100 other pastors were briefed by members of Congress. And we're so thankful that David Barton invited us to go and be a part of that. And I saw members of Congress very, very concerned about religious freedom in America. And also very encouraging that we would exercise our freedoms and not let them go by the wayside. These were people of passion. Oh, you don't see them on the evening news. One of them now is a ranking member of a committee and therefore does sometimes get on the evening news, but a solid, solid individual. We were all impressed, I think, by the quality of the people that we heard, the quality of their presentations, and the quality of their testimonies. These are people who care very much about the original intent of the Founding Fathers. Now, there I go again. I know that you're thinking, well, the Founding Fathers didn't believe in God the way we do. They weren't Christians. They were deists. And probably the one that you would say would be the biggest of that bunch would be Thomas Jefferson. Well, don't you find it interesting that Thomas Jefferson started 3 churches while he was president of the United States? Churches which met in the Capitol, the rotunda of the Capitol, that met in the Treasury Building, and that met in the White House. As they grew, they had to find other spaces for these churches. Don't you find that interesting? These were Christian churches. And these were churches that were started and involved in by the man who was supposed to be a deist and not a Christian. Very interesting. Very interesting how history can be rewritten to suit people. I had a good friend who his avocation was that of a historian. And this was a person, very deep person of faith, a very, very fine person. And he was a part of a very, very well-known family throughout the history of our country. And he was always amazed at how people would want to rewrite history. And I still chuckle when I remember how, when one time asked, what do you have that shows that you're right? And he was at the National Archives talking to the head archivist. And he reached down in his leather valise and he pulled out family letters and family Bibles and laid them across his desk and said, here, this will prove, look at this note here and this note here. And I can't help but get a wisp of a smile across my face every time I see David Barton hold up one of his over 100,000 original documents, handwritten documents, by people who were supposed to be deists. Documents talking about Jesus Christ, their Savior, or encouraging others to accept Christ as their Savior. But you see, we're only taught about a handful of the Founding Fathers in this country. And what we're taught about are the ones that would perhaps be the easiest to discredit as being believers. For what purpose? Well, the purpose would be to make people of faith, people who believe in Christ in particular, to be undesirable elements in our society. I would remind people that we have a lot to celebrate in our religious freedom in America. And the reason we have a lot to celebrate is because because these people, Christians, who founded this country, I myself have an ancestor from the Mayflower, and many people in this country do. And we know about the Mayflower Compact. We know about their hearts toward Christ. Oh, I know that there were some people on the Mayflower who were not a part of the Pilgrims. They were other people who were interested in business and things of this sort. But nevertheless, what we're taught is the idea of thanksgiving through these people. Thanksgiving to God. I will tell you, my friends, if you just look at even after the Revolution and a man named Rufus Putnam going into the Northwest Territory and being the head of a land company, and when they would map out the land areas for the Northwest Territory, they mapped out places for public squares like courthouses, things of this sort. And they marked off so many squares, every so many squares for schools. And they marked off squares for churches, my friends, Christian churches, to be built to make sure that there was the presence of Christian churches throughout the whole Northwest Territory of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, those areas. Well, you don't hear about that. That's not stressed in what you read, because that would be contrary to what many people want to have happen. You see, many times people do not like Christianity, the Romans didn't for a long time, because it interferes with ungodly behavior, ungodly actions of domination. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But where the spirit of man is, sometimes there is this desire to cause people to be subjugated to a particular group of people, who become an elitist bunch of people who make their own rules. Well, Christians, they were interested in following God's rule, God's regulations, God's ways of causing things to happen, of how people should relate to one another, behaviors that were either acceptable to God or not acceptable to God. And now we hear, well, it might be acceptable in this community, so we'll allow these standards here. It might be accepted in that community, so we'll allow different standards there. And so what happens is there's a breaking down of God's rule and God's regulation. One of the things I've noticed is that when people get further away from the land, they tend to get further away from God. When you stack people up in cities quite often, then it becomes man's opinion, and that's where we need God's ways to rule, most of all where there are more people. But a farmer, you see, really, really needs to understand God and be faithful to God, because he's dependent on God. He can plant the seed, but it's God that brings the rain. It's God that brings the weather that permits him to be successful in his endeavors. He can't go to another group of people and pass a regulation that says, okay, we need more rain here, so we'll do. Can you imagine the lobbyists going, say, well, now this county here needs more rain, and no, this county here, and these people have more money, so they have more influence, and so since they have more money and influence, we ought to let more rain happen there. Can you imagine what chaos there would be if man were in charge of the rain? Can you imagine how many people would say, oh, well, that's a good way. We'll starve a bunch of people out because we'll see to it it doesn't rain where they are. But the scriptures say that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. Yes, my friends, those very people who would take away religious freedom receive the grace of God every time it rains. Every time a shower falls on them, they're being blessed by what God established to keep this planet working, to support us all. Do you know that there's no famine in the world except that famine which is caused by political unrest? Oh, we have marvelous ways of growing crops and shipping food. But then you can go to places like Darfur, and you've got one group of people who decide to go to the group of people because of their religious beliefs and their backgrounds. They shouldn't be allowed to survive. So we'll starve them out. We'll burn them out. We'll bomb them. We'll strafe them. We'll do all these things to them, they think. See, because they're not into religious freedom. Now, you know, in America, you can praise just about any faith except Christianity. And if there's another one then that you couldn't praise, it would probably be, people would probably say, well, you can't say good things about the Jewish faith. Well, my friends, I say good things about Jews and Israel because I'm a supporter of Israel. I want to see Israel bloom and blossom just as it has since it became a nation, my friends, in one day. You see, they're fulfilling what everybody would like to ignore, but they are fulfilling all the prophecies that were brought out in the Old Testament. All the prophecies that were said would happen, they're happening. Why is that? Because, my friends, God is faithful. Even when man is not, God is faithful. He keeps his word. And he says that you should keep your word even to your own hurt, and he does. Even when things don't go his way, he gives mankind the freedom. Well, those people who don't like religious freedom, they wouldn't do that. But the very people who would destroy Christianity in America are the same people who are able to do it because it was Christians that gave them the freedom to do that. Now you might say, well, that's just kind of stupid to give people the freedom to do that. Well, but you see, God gives people the freedom to go against his will and his ways. Now there will be a reckoning one day for that. But at this particular point in the age of grace, God allows mankind to actually oppose him and his ways. Yes, it's true, my friends. God permits it. Well, you could say, well, what kind of a God would do that? Well, it's the kind of God that whether you're a believer or not, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess is the one true God, the creator of it all. The one who loves each and every person listening to the sound of my voice. The God that is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And the founding fathers of the United States of America believed that so much that the United States Congress had Bibles printed in order that people could take them to the Native American population and let them know the story of Jesus and give them the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Yes, the United States Congress paid for those Bibles. Those same Bibles that are not supposed to be pulled out in a school system now, although that's not exactly accurate, they can be, but there are certain groups that would make you think that they couldn't be. Because, my friends, there are actually people who are against religious freedom who will lie. Imagine that. We need believers to be celebrating their religious freedom. We need people to wake up on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings or whenever their tradition is to worship together and not say we have to go to church, but say, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We get to go to church services today. We get together with fellow believers and praise and worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. These are the things that we need to celebrate. These are the things that have brought about all the freedoms that you have, and I personally believe are the things that has allowed the United States to have the same constitution for over 200 years, while during that same time, countries around the world have had multiple constitutions, have had to find multiple ways of trying to get along and live together. But in the United States of America, over 200 years later, we, my friends, have the same Constitution, and we have been able to maintain it because we were a nation of godly men and women who sought to set up a nation that said, these truths are self-evident, that our freedoms are derived from our Creator, not from the opinion of one group of men or another group of men, not from the opinion of persons, but the opinion of the person of God Himself. Oh, my friends, this is a dear, dear thing. It is a dear, dear thing that we must protect at all cost. We must make sure that churches do not get outlawed by regulation. You know, the Soviet Union said they had freedom of religion, and then they regulated churches out. Well, you can't go here because you can't build a church in this area. You can't do this because you can't do it this way or that way. And they regulated it out. They made it almost impossible to function. And these things always come about by we're trying to protect the people. We're trying to make things better. My friends, did you need that protection? Did you need protection to be able to worship your God? Did you need protection to be able to say to your neighbor, this is what Jesus has done in my life, and I hope you'll accept Him, and that you'll see Him do the same in yours? We've not needed any kind of regulation on that. As a matter of fact, it has been the lack of that regulation that has allowed the gospel not only to flourish and spread in this nation, but through this nation to spread around the world. Ah, now there, my friend, is a very dangerous thing from the world point of view, isn't it? Why, you know, you turn those Christians loose, they're going to make everybody like them. Well, excuse me, but Christians set up a pretty good country here in the late 1700s. And I am so thankful for it. I had ancestors who fought for that freedom. I had an ancestor that, of course, couldn't be paid to the Continental Congress because they didn't have enough money to pay the soldiers. So they gave General Washington a bunch of land, and he divvied it up among his officers, and they divvied it up among their men. And I had an ancestor who was given 20 miles along the Ohio River and 20 miles back from the Ohio River for fighting for this country's freedom, so that we could go to the church of our choice, not the one the government said that we had to go to. We could read the scriptures for ourselves and understand them and relate to God and allow God to speak to us and allow us to love others and, yes, my friends, even tolerate those who did not see things just eye to eye with us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, my friend, there is freedom, just as the Scripture says. And make no mistake about it, the Spirit of the Lord was alive and well in 13 colonies who were establishing a new nation, who sent people to meeting to the Continental Congress to set up a government, to set up for freedom, to have these meetings. And these, my friends, were praying people, and they were praying to the God who created it all, to Jehovah God, in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, that they would be given wisdom, that they would know how to go about it, that they would know what to do and how to do it and the way to say it and the way to ensure that we had religious freedom in this new country, the United States of America. Now make no mistake about it, they're misinformed people. There are people who are not really trying to do away with it. Oh, it will sound like they are, but they're misinformed. And they're misinformed because, my brothers and sisters, in the celebration of freedom, we must show them that they have been mistaught, that their understanding is mistaken, that in trying to hush the body of Christ, they have indeed missed the mark of freedom greatly, and have set up the opportunity for tyranny. the opportunity for a small group of people who happen to have more resources than other people to take over the lives of all people for their own benefit. But when you see a man or a woman believes in God and understands that the truth, that the freedoms granted them by God are self-evident, and that they have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that thwarts every tyrant that would come across the horizon. That silences every person who thinks that they have a better understanding of how things should have to ought to be. Because it sets up, when you have the standards that the United States of America was built on, when you have those standards from Scripture, make it very clear, I want to make it clear, from Scripture, that sets up the freedom that God gave mankind. And it has served so well. Now, many people I know would have you think that's not true, but it has, my friends. I remember how excited I was the day that they told us, okay, now children, from now on we'll be saying under God right here at this location as we say the, and they showed us where we would insert under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I was so thrilled as a child. And then only a few years later to hear how prayer might damage people, how it could be terrible to do that. Let me tell you, my friends, the people who would silence the people of faith are much harsher, are much more restrictive, are much more restraining, are much less dedicated to allowing anybody to disagree with them than any of the Christians who were founders of the United States of America. We need every day to praise our Lord that we have the freedoms in this country, that we have the ability to support God's people in Israel, and to let that nation flourish from where there was just desert to now. The majority of the roses every day purchased in the eastern United States are flown from those very deserts that other people who say they want the land back had for centuries and couldn't get it to produce anything. But the Jewish people, when they set up their nation, in one day, just as the scripture said it would happen, they have been able to do that. They have been able to make a barren land lush and green. A barren land support them and many others, even some of their enemies that would do away with them, have been supported by that very land that they have been able to make bloom and blossom by the hand of God. My friends, by the hand of God. This nation, the United States, was set up, I believe so strongly, under the hand of God. Just every much as Israel became a nation in one day, as the prophets said it would in 1947. They became a nation in one day by the hand of God. They have won the wars that they've won by the hand of God. Have you ever looked at the size of that place and how they're surrounded by millions and millions of people that could just walk all over them? But the hand of God preserves them. And I pray that the hand of God will preserve faith and the ability to have and continue our religious freedoms in the United States of America. That, my friends, is what I wanted to share with you in this broadcast. Freedom. Freedom to worship and to praise God. Religious freedom. Not religious dominance by beating people up or harming people who disagree with you in your views of God and your practice of your faith. But people who will love other people just as we've had for over 200 years in this nation. Oh, sure, there have been pockets here and there where that's not been the case. You can always find exceptions like that. But my friends, I'm telling you, we need to celebrate religious freedom in America. We need to shout it from the mountaintops. We need to make sure that people understand that where we're employed, we have religious freedom. Where we have our businesses, we have religious freedom. That in our schools, we have religious freedom. That on our streets and our highways and byways, we have religious freedom, and we are going to celebrate it. And that's my broadcast for this time. Celebrate your religious freedom, America. In Jesus' name, amen.